Money, consumption, status, and power have long driven our culture's pulse. They've shaped our motivations, our behaviors, and our beliefs. But what happens when we give art the same influence? Writers, designers, musicians, photographers, videographers, and the world's most creative minds have the power to heal us, challenge us, and guide us back home to ourselves. In their hands and through their crafts, we find a new world, one where art is a catalyst for powerful change, where self-expression, human connection, and deep empathy are the world's richest assets. This is Art is the New Wall Street with your host, Morgan Short.
Hi, artists and creative friends. Welcome back to Art is the New Wall Street. I have a special one planned for you today because I am welcomed by not one, but two guests. It's an honor to introduce you to this power couple, Fancy and Envy. Together, they make up the hip-hop music duo Illism. Their music has been included in over 150 TV shows and films. They've performed at Paisley Park, toured for several years, and charted number one on the North American College and Community Radio chart with their album, Family Over Everything. In addition to performing as Illism, they've made significant influences and impact in the community in the Twin Cities. They are the owners of the Legacy Building in South Minneapolis, which is a creative hub for artists to experiment, collaborate, coexist, and create compelling content and experiences. And that's not all. They also put on the Juneteenth Festival, Soul of the South Side, in Minneapolis, and they own Crown Media, creatives rewriting narratives. I mean, seriously, power couple. I could go on. It's amazing. And I'm so blessed to have them. So we're going to talk about their journey as partners in life and art, their experience as creative community leaders, and maybe just explore their creative process. So Fancy and Envy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're just waiting on the audience applause. Right.
That's the one you feel tired. I'd be like, dang, we do a lot.
She whispered to me when you were reading off, she's
like, you do so much. You really do. And, you know, I just actually want to jump in by asking you, you know, from the music to Crown Media to the Legacy Building, is there a common vision across all of your different artistic endeavors? Is there something that you guys are really grounded in, a vision or a mission or something?
Yeah.
Really, I think is uplifting Black creatives. But also for us, just personally, we want to just leave a mark on everything that we do. It's kind of weird because there's times where, you know, we'll venture off into a field that we have no experience in, and then we have to learn it, figure it out, while still doing it, leaving a mark.
And I honestly think the core of that, a big chunk of that, is because of Illism.
Sure.
The reason Crown Media exists is because of Illism. We needed music videos. We needed a website. We needed album artwork. And the pockets was thin. So when the pockets are thin, you're like, okay, well, let me try to figure this out for myself. The pockets are thin. Where do we begin? And so one day he told me while we were working at Best Buy, actually, and was like, watch, in 1 year, I'm going to be reporting music videos. I was like, bet. I'm excited to see this. And then that's how the media portion of it started. Same with the Legacy Building. You know, when we acquired the space, we knew that there was a hole in our community, but there was also a hole with us too. You know, when you're a performing artist, you're a band, you're in music, you oftentimes feel like you hit like that glass ceiling, like it is not bursting through. Like, how do I just get through? And you start to realize like making music isn't enough. Performing on stage is not enough. It's all great. It's fantastic. It's enough for that box that needs to be checked, but it's not enough for the whole picture. Mm-hmm. And now through the Legacy Building and through Crown Media, a lot more people are aware of who Illism is without having had listened to any of our music. When they walk in the doors of the Legacy Building, they see it's Illism who put it on. And they might not necessarily know what that means. When they start asking questions, we can fill them in. Plus, you know, our put our pictures everywhere all over that space too. So everyone's usually like, oh, wait.
I seen him.
That's you, right? And that's you downstairs. And I'm like, yeah. And they're always wondering what what all of that means too. So without having to sing a note or to get up on stage or to make a music video or to pose in a picture, a lot of what we do is definitely centered around our love and our passion for music and community.
Wow. Beautiful. And so you guys met at Best Buy? Was that the, is that the origin story? Or tell me how you both met.
We both met at AT&T.
AT&T. Okay.
Yeah. Call center. This is back in 2006. So we actually got hired and started in the same training class. So, you know, everyone's going around saying who they are and what they do. And then I see her, but you know, your first day of work, you're not really like, who's that? You know, it's more like, oh man, this is weird. You know what I mean? Your first day of work, trying to get to learn all the new faces. And then, you know, over the course of time, we just started hanging.
He's always been a rapper. He's always been a lyricist. He's always been a rapper. Mm-hmm. When he first met me, I was in a different period of my life. I was a brand new mom. I had my son when I was 17, my oldest son when I was 17. And by this time, I was 21. And I'm really trying to process motherhood. This is like my first big time job. Like, I was really used to working in retail and all of that. And all of a sudden, there's this guy who stands up in the introduction phase of the icebreaker of the new class. And he's like, yeah, I'm this person, and I do music, and I do this, and I do that. And I am usually a pretty, like, to myself kind of person. Mm-hmm. I try to be a lot more open, but especially at the time and what was occurring in my life, I was definitely very sheltered. Yep. And very,
introverted.
And I was still very compelled to walk up to him during our lunch break and say, oh, you do music? I do too. Knowing it was a complete lie. I had a passion and a love for music, but I was not doing music at that
time. Okay.
Totally not. I had stepped away the minute I had my son. I stepped away. So when I went up to him and told him that, he goes, oh, yeah, here goes my flyer. You should come to my shop. So, and I also have a mixtape out. And, you know, he's giving me, you know, the whole entire rundown. And so I think that it was just that spark right there that was like, oh, okay, we've kind of broken the ice in this friendship sort of way. And there is something common between us that
we're both interested.
We're both interested in, and it's a really good foundation that we can start with, which then led to us hanging out a whole lot more. We would go on lunch breaks together. We would swap, mix CDs. He would show me his new music, and the rest is history.
When was the first time you performed together or you started working on something collaboratively?
I would say He Say, She Say would be our, and that was 2010.
Yeah, in 2010.
Yep, 2010. Mm-hmm.
We did a project together called He Say, She Say. It was Envy and Fancy, and the album was called He Say, She Say, and it was, 10 tracks or 12 tracks? 10 tracks?
Which is basically kind of like the...
Oh, just pure auto-tune.
It wasn't bad. I think it was a learning phase for us, but it did show us the power of our collaboration.
Yeah.
We collaborated. People always said, like, yo, I like that. I like the dynamic. You guys are together. Why not? You know? And I was always kind of like still just in my solo artist mode and not really like receptive to it. And she was the one actually that said, let's do this together. Let's do this. Here's a name we got. It's called Illism. Let's do this. And I was just like, nah, not yet. I'm not ready for it. And then,
he had achieved a lot as a solo artist. He's charted on Billboard. The reason that I have songs licensed on TV shows and things like that was because of all of the different things that he taught me through his personal journey with music prior to us becoming a group. So I understand how it was hard to let go of that. And it wasn't really letting go. It was just new.
In addition.
Yeah.
But it did feel like, oh, man, something was like being buried or put away.
So did you become a couple and then become a group, or was it the other way around?
Well, couple first.
Couple first, then the group. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that name, Illism. Where did that come from, and what was the creative process behind that?
Yeah. So we got married in 2009. Our very first album together was He Say She Say in 2010. And then we still continued to do individual music from there. That was just our first collaborative project. We still featured each other on music all the way up until 2015, which is when Illism was born. And the name comes from ill, dope, fresh, cool, and hip-hop. And ism, which means movement, like feminism, per se, let's say that. When you put the two together, a dope musical movement.
I love that. Let's talk about, so a big part of how Crown Media was birthed, just as you were saying, is that you had to figure out how to promote illism and the music. So yeah. What would you have to say to creatives who are out there trying to promote their stuff?
You know, creativity is really fluid. Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes we put ourselves in boxes and we think we're only supposed to do one thing. Mm-hmm. And I understand that thinking because your focus is on the number one thing you want. You know, close your eyes. There's 10,000, 20,000 people screaming your name and you're in this
the camera phone light.
Huge stadium. Yeah. And everyone got their cell phones out with the flashlights. It just looks like floating stars all around you. You know, that's at least when I close my eyes, that's what I envision. So you go super hard to become that. And there's so much more to become around that might be part of the dream, but it's not all of it. And a lot of it is recognizing that you're going to have multiple versions of yourself to help you be successful. And it's not necessarily just that one lane that we're really addicted to, which is up on stage, you know, doing our thing. But I find, and I don't want to speak for him, but I think we both still do find a lot of joy in not just being up on stage and singing. We find a lot of joy in that, but we also have discovered how much joy and how much purpose we find in all the other things that we do, especially when we're bringing people together, especially when community is involved. Mm-hmm. And if there's a secret anywhere, is that
it's community.
People really get behind you and believe in you when you show that you not only believe in yourself, but you believe in them.
Definitely.
You know, they really can rally behind you.
Yes, absolutely. You spoke to a lot of what I struggle with personally as a creative and artist is like, I do poetry over here and I'm working my 9-to-5 and I'm starting this podcast and I'm thinking about creating an agency and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I have to fit into a single box. And if this part isn't influencing this part, then it's not going to work. But I think that's just like the labels of everything. It has caused me to feel so not whole. And has caused me to feel like there's so many different sides of me that can't exist without the other.
For sure. So
I see so clearly how your different things that you're working on all come together as a whole. But have you ever had that experience where you're like, how does this part and this part and this part all come together as part of the bigger?
I think a lot of experts and a lot of people who just have more skin in the game, I think they all get to that point where like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I think a lot of us do. But we're just going to try it.
We're just going to try it. Figure it out as we go. We're going to ask people who may have more experience, like, what are your methods? How do you do it? Like, we're all about, what's the worst that can happen? Are you going to die? Okay. Is that answer? No? Right. We can always say, you know, we could try it a different way. We could maybe just hand it off to somebody else who may have more experience with it. But at least we know, like, experiment, because you know creatives aren't just like you said, it's fluid. It's not just one thing. You're a singer, you do more than just sing when you're not singing. Are you
into fashion? Yeah, you like taking care of kids. Mm-hmm. Imagine where that could even go. You know, imagine being a singer who loves to take care of kids and using your skill, your gift to even reach children. You know, kids be locked in on music.
Oh yeah,
you know, I mean, we all do. Especially young people, they even learn a lot just through music. Even with our son, he learned how to spell his name at two years old because we sang the letters of his name.
Everything is a song.
Everything our is address. A song. Yeah, our address, everything. And and young people really latch on to that too. So the focus is still singing, but it's still using that gift for something else. You know, it just looks different. Again, it's not you standing on that stage, a stadium full of people. Yes, of course, that's part of the dream, but man, you can still use that gift in so many other ways. It translates across the entire board, you know.
Language and everything.
One thing that's coming up for me is you two do a lot. And how do you decide, I'm going to invest time in this today? I mean, you've got Crown Media, you've got Illism, you've got the Legacy Building. How do you decide, okay, this is something I'm focusing my energy on today versus maybe this I can offload to somebody else? How do you make those creative decisions, really, is what they are?
Yeah, I learned at a previous job, they sat us all around a table and we all had to talk about our positions. It was a nonprofit and we are all kind of sitting around, not really understanding our roles, because at most nonprofits, what tends to happen is the admin suddenly has all these other jobs they're not supposed to be doing because they had to let go of somebody to save money. And now, you know, everyone's job is not matching their title. And so you're like, okay, well, I was hired to just keep the office space, but now I'm doing bookkeeping. What's happening here? How did we get here? Right. And so they sat us down around a table and they asked us a question. They said, what do you do? What can you do? And should you do it? So I was asking myself that question. What can I do? Can I do this? I can do this. Should I do this? And that's where we start to ask ourselves, like, okay, should I do it? Yes, I should, because it really requires me to do it. Or should I do it? No, I shouldn't do this. This is something that I have to do. I can pass this along to somebody else. And even just getting there to passing along to somebody else is a major struggle. Because you know in your mind how you want things to get done and the time you want it done in, and trusting somebody with what feels like your livelihood is a big responsibility. And sometimes you can start to feel like it's just adding more weight, you know, to your shoulders, because now I have to, you know, not necessarily overlook this person while they're doing the task, but, you know, it's one more person I have to hold accountable outside of myself. So, but we do ask ourselves that question, like, can I do it? Should I do it? And if I shouldn't do it, who should it be going to?
Or if it's just not something that serves you.
Or something that's not serves you, should I be doing it at all? And if that answer is no, then we just toss it out the window. There is something to be said about putting your focus on one thing and focusing just on that. I say that, though, with a little, you know, asterisk. The asterisk is kind of like what I said in the beginning of our conversation. A lot of what we focus on is Illism. It all is Illism. And even though it shows up in all these different ways, the focus still is Illism. It still is our music at the core.
Yeah.
And so, you hear Crown Media, yes, you hear Legacy Building. And so it's like, well, you weren't focused on one thing. I am. It's just through these other avenues, I'm able to achieve a lot more. We're able to achieve a lot more for our music career.
And what is the ultimate dream for Illism?
Standing there on the stage with the lights. With the camera lights.
Yeah, absolutely.
Able to like pull up for our community no matter what. Like, you know, it's frustrating when you see other people who are also serving the community have something that is an obstacle or a roadblock that can't get them beyond that. And a lot of the time it's financial. Or it's a lack of access to resources.
Yep.
And you just be watching that and you'd be like, God, like if only, you know, that's not the only solution, just pulling money out of our pocket, you know, and like trying to disperse it to everyone. But it's also, okay, well, who can we rally together? What are the other ideas we can get together to, you know, make things possible? It's hard to digest that, you know, you're within miles of a school where half the kids don't eat except for when they go to school. Yeah. Or that there is a huge population who are unhoused and have children who are also with them.
Right in our neighborhood.
Right in our neighborhood, you know, and what can a creative do to help do something about that? That's an ultimate dream too, is to not necessarily be the person who's going to solve everything, but I at least make a significant contribution to just be a drop in the bucket that creates the ripple.
Bucket of good.
That can evoke change in some capacity.
And some of that, right, comes to life through Soul of the South Side, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. You want to share a little bit about that festival and how it all comes to life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Soul of the South Side is, it's a Juneteenth festival that happens on the day of Juneteenth. And it's really just a day for celebration, for liberation, for healing, for collaboration. And also just to rally folks who want to also commemorate, whether if they're not, Black. It's a music festival, but it's also an art festival. It's a
food festival. It's a vending festival. it's all centered around Blackness. It's to show the world how this country even just came to be. June 19th might have been what the story that was told was the last enslaved people were free in Galveston, Texas on June 19th. But that's not necessarily true. But it's definitely something that our people, we're a resilient people. And even just coming up with the name Juneteenth was something Black folks came up with. And it does deserve to be celebrated. There's still a lot of work that has to be done in terms of equality. And we just hope that through our festival, just right here in the Twin Cities, at minimum, we can really recognize the contributions that Black people have made here. We can educate people on our history. Mm-hmm. Who was the first Black person that was here? What did they do? Who has survived so that we can be here right now where we are in this spot? Who were the change makers? Who were the difference makers? And this year, especially with the festival, every experience that people go through, whether it's listening to music, going to our art galleries, enjoying food, going to our healing square, any activity that they're a part of that they're going to be educated and educated in a fun way, not sit down classroom style, but they won't even know that they're being put up on game. And the more that you know, the more power you feel and seen you feel, and the more significant your existence feels. And for Black people, I really want Black people to know how significant, personally, I really want Black folks to know how significant their existence is. And to showcase that in a creative way is really, really exciting. Mm-hmm. And we're really excited for this year.
Hell yeah. I'm in awe of you both. And what a gift. What a gift to the community.
Yeah.
Truly. And you're putting together a festival. You're talking about food vendors, music acts. You're talking about safety. I mean, there's a lot. And you two are heading this up, championing this, right?
We do. We have an incredible team of people,
Good.
We have an incredible team of people. We, just to name a few, because I was going to shout these people out because they're incredible. It's Kenna Cotman. Kenna is our community engagement, accessibility. Kenna brings up so much, reminds us so much about holding space for the community and reminding us why we're doing what we're doing, because we can get caught up in how excited we are about all
We got the dreamers here.
Yeah, or anyone else coming to perform. We get the excitedness of it. And Kenna does such a good job at reeling us back in and reminding us and grounding us, remembering why we're doing what we're doing.
Let's go.
And that's so important. And let's see, our community partner, KRSM, they're a local radio station. And they're a great partner, Andrea Pierre, who's the manager of KRSM. She's also doing our wellness, along with Felicia Perry, who is a huge Northside advocate. And a lot of Soul of the South Side is about bridging the North Side and the South Side together.
Mm. Of course, they are just Minneapolis.
Right? They are just Minneapolis, right. And even though the event is called the Soul of the South Side, all of the titles and the things removed, we really need to bridge North and South Minneapolis together. And then we can be like St. Paul. Oh, what it do?
Yes.
Brooklyn Park.
Still now, yes. So I'm blessed to be able to have my sister be our vending manager. Isaac Brazil from the Magic House, who you know, he's our operations manager. Namdi or Dio, he's our artist exhibition, director of artist exhibition. So he's going to put together these amazing, beautiful galleries for people to witness.
So it's just a eclectic collective.
So many amazing people who make this happen. It totally is not just he and I. We might be a face, but it totally is not just me.
I would say year one, it was just me and her.
Yes.
Oh, it was, I think after year one, we were like, yeah, we need some help.
Yeah. And then you showed up last year. Last year, and our team continues to grow,
I'm really grateful for. The festival is gradually growing as well. So, like year one, 1,000 people showed up.
Just at
the Hook and Ladder. So, year two, we took more real estate. We kind of turned it into more of a block party now. And cool. So, last year or this previous summer, it was 2,500 people that attended.
Wow.
So now we're in the third season of this, and we're growing. Yeah, and so, we can already imagine that number is going to.
Is there a number that you're expecting for this year?
Our goal is 5,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, you doubled last year, right? So
we did. And so we're trying to make space for that many more people who are coming.
Mm-hmm.
And Juneteenth falls on a Wednesday this year. And we're probably going to be one of the only things happening that day. A lot of people are probably going to take up the weekend before, the weekend after. So we really want to make this very, very special and meaningful for people to come out. And we're excited about our growth. We've acquired space at the Coliseum building now. We're shutting down parts of Lake Street. We're shutting down parts of Minnehaha Avenue for all the families and people in our community to come together.
Wow. Congratulations on the growth. And I'm excited to see what happens for Soul to Southside. This summer.
Yeah.
You know, there's no one better, I think, to answer this next question about, you know, you're a duo, and a lot of the work that you two do together is both of you. And so my question is, how do you balance your personal creative desires with your partners?
You know, when we first got together, we were friends first. I feel like that has helped. Like work together, just being like, well, obviously we're partners, but like a friendship first, because I feel like it's easier to talk to each other that way. but overall, I don't know, our process is really just kind of like compromising. Like sometimes she's running point guard today. It's a term that's kind of used, but being able to be the person in control and the other person being able to take the passenger seat to kind of say, you can run this one. I'll be over here to support. I'm still helping. And then vice versa. It might be a thing that I'm leading and then she's, you know, supporting.
There's also sometimes just shit.
Right.
Being completely honest, like, I don't want to go over there and film that with you. I'm going to let you do that. And sometimes he's like, yeah, I'm not really that into updating our website. Don't really know how to do it, if we're being completely honest. I don't know how to work any of his cameras. I can definitely point and shoot, and I can take some really good video and photo if he sets the camera up for me. But, you know, that's him. He chose that, not me. You want to hold the cameras. I think sometimes a lot of people have this idea that we just do everything together. We're holding all the cameras together. We're holding the mics together. We're doing everything.
Hold each other's hand.
And there is a lot of time where we actually are not together.
Mm-hmm.
Spends a lot of time in the field and doing a lot of film work and that sort of thing in the field. And I do a lot of the like back office sort of stuff. You know, I do a lot of the admin, the grant writing, the, like I said, website updating. And those are all the ways that I love to use my creativity. And even though in junior high and high school, actually both times I took a film class and I really loved it. And I love being creative behind the camera. When I ask him which jobs he has coming up, I really only pick the ones that are going to be really, really fun. Like, you know, I put you on that.
Oh, so you got to go to Vegas. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of a, it's a balance that way too. Like, yeah, I don't, yeah. I definitely myself up and he don't sign himself up.
Yeah. Balance and push and pull. That's coming up for me right now too. Is like, how do you, like, what happens when one of you wants to go this way and the other one's like, no, I want to go this way. Like, you just go that with those ways, or how do you choose?
No, there is compromising. So when, say for instance, there's maybe a job and we're trying to figure out how to creatively make this happen, whether it's the person's budget, and I'm a real stickler on like budget and remembering our time, you know, like, no, you don't want to make $25 an hour doing that. When you break it all down, you might be thinking of a big number, like, well, I'm going to get paid, you know, X amount of $1,000 for it. And I'm like, well, let's break this down line by line and what all of that actually adds up to and how much of that portion is what you're going to take home. So that's where I come into play when we are going on like two different ends. You know, I'm the...
You're smacking them back to the head.
I'm that voice of reason, or yeah, that's one side of the coin. You know, what's the other? Like, we got to know. Mm-hmm. The right hand really do got to know sometimes what the left hand is doing. So I would say there's a lot of that. He, for the most part, though, you know, he's a very laid back. So a very laid back, nice guy. And if I just be like, yeah, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to go do this, he'd be like, all right, go ahead. And there's just
like, I'll be here to support you.
like kick back from him. And sometimes it concerns me. I'd be like, you just don't got nothing to say. Like, there's no.
And for me, I'm just like, you got stuff to do. I know. So like, go ahead. I'll. And sometimes it could even be like where we have to compromise with our 3-year-old because.
Oh, yeah.
Those times we both have something to do that day. And mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, I'll take the first shift. When you're done, let me hop in and, you know, mm-hmm. Do what I have
to
do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
wow. Like really balancing your creative side with your business and entrepreneurial side with your parenthood and just responsibilities. I mean,
yeah,
you do it all. You really do.
It's a lot, but it's no complaints. No mm-hmm. complaint. It's really,
there is some complaining.
I mean, yeah.
We are human.
I know this route for us is a whole lot better than going to clock in somewhere.
Yep. For sure. We agree.
We can write our own schedule. There's days where it's like, I'm tired. I think I'm going to sleep in this morning.
Has there ever been a time in your journey as entrepreneurs where you're like, it's time to go back to that kind of work, like a full-time job or something where you're not your own boss?
Pandemic.
Yeah.
Kind of the pandemic. Yeah. He definitely said a few times, like, man, I'm about to just apply at FedEx. Go to Amazon. Yeah. Yep. Places were still like pushing out, you know, jobs like left mm-hmm. and right, really needing help. But no, not for real. We feel very fulfilled in what we're doing. And where there's a will, there's a way. And it's very much mind over matter. We'd be really surprised how much we trick ourselves into thinking, you know, to flail, to freak out. And some of that, I think, comes from our desire to control our outcomes.
Oh, yeah.
And
kidding me? Yes.
When we do that, and I do that a lot, like, you envision how you want it to be. And then when it's not playing out that way, still playing in your favor, we just don't take the time to just step back and sort of zoom out for a second and be like, oh, okay, yeah, we...
we both need to be in the passenger seat. Okay, just let us go ahead, God.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. You are speaking to my heart and soul right now. It is such a part of my journey right now. Success for me has always been outcome driven. It's been climb the corporate ladder. It's been how much money can I make from this? It's all attached to the outcome. And in the first episode of this podcast, that was what I was talking about, is I have to detach myself from the outcome as a creative. It often stops me from pursuing creative things, from doing creative projects, because I get scared about not controlling the outcome. And that also comes up when I want to do everything myself instead of give some of the pieces of the project away. So you're speaking to my...
For sure.
Strip a cord.
one thing too that actually hit us the other night. So we love to pull affirmation cards. Sometimes we just be in our moment where we're like, okay, I need some advice. I need just a different perspective, something positive. And the other day, I pulled this card that was called Cap and Gown.
Okay.
And on it, it said, there is more journey than destination. And I was like, wow. We're all so focused, again, on that control, like the destination. It has
control
to look
the
like
outcome.
This. And life is so much more about journeying through than you just arrive and we do just keep going. And we should celebrate each of our small accomplishments. But it's just that, like, there's no graduation. But
just a gas station along the road.
Yeah, there's no like graduation from getting to the next thing to the next. So so the quote she has at the end of the card says, "I haven't arrived, but I'm on my way." And I thought that was really powerful too. It's mm-hmm. just in a constant state of getting there and remembering mm-hmm. that the journey is honestly the most important part. Mm-hmm.
There's so many people, even just experts or really successful people, they're still on their journey. They're still trying to accomplish certain things. Beyonce at the
just
Grammys.
Dropped a country album.
Yeah, but also haven't won a Grammy, right? Was it for album of the year or something like that?
For so, like, album of the year.
Imagine what her journey is. She's probably like, I'm trying to smash this record. I'm trying to get this, you know? So there's other people who are dealing with other goals in mind and mm-hmm. they're always up, right, too.
You're circling around this idea. As humans, a lot of time we have that outcome or that destination in mind, and then we get there and we expect it to make us feel something, a certain type of way. And then we don't, and the goalpost moves again and again and again, and it's just never enough. And that's such an important reason why I'm like, I need to detach myself from the outcome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. I feel you on that.
I want to shift gears a little bit and ask you about Crown Media. So Crown is also an acronym. Creatives Rewriting Narratives. Can you talk a little bit about the narratives that you want creatives to rewrite?
Man, a lot. I feel like there's a lot. Their own, especially. You know, I think a lot of us, we have an idea of what we want the perception to be of our journey. And sometimes we can make up these false narratives about the direction we're heading. You know, with social media and things like that, you know, it's the highlight reel. Everything that we post is just all of the highlights. It's all of the good stuff. And sometimes that can consume us and we can start to feel like what is our reality is not really our reality. Mm-hmm. And we're probably then going to snowball on all the other things that we just talked about in this conversation. Why doesn't it look this way? Why is it not happening this way? You know, I've dug myself this ditch that I'm sort of like laying in, and now I need to like climb out of it. And it's just like, you know, get control of your narrative. Don't be on a constant trying to compare yourself constantly mm-hmm. to other people that you see.
Also, you know, just having people be in charge of telling your story.
Telling your story.
Or other stories.
Mm-hmm. This is so important. The stories that we carry and start to tune into and believe can shape our reality and shape how we show up as creative beings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's where a lot of that stemmed from. It also stemmed from we formed Crown Media, although he has been doing a lot of film work for like 10 years at this point. Crown Media wasn't formed until 2021. And it was during a time when, you know, our city here and the world, honestly, was really at odds. Just a lot of misinformation everywhere. Yep. Have George Floyd. We have all these things happening. And all the narratives were wrong, mm-hmm. you know, fake news, you know, it was just like everywhere you turned was what is real anymore. And mm-hmm. so we came up with that concept based off of that feeling that we were getting during that time too.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. That is super cool. Okay, so let's go back to the stories though for a second. What advice would you give around someone who's struggling with stories they're being told about themselves? What do they tune into, and how do they tune out stories that maybe aren't serving them?
I think, honestly, this is more of an internal thing. I think it's really you'll have to go inside of yourself, you know, and really try to, because, yeah, that it is kind of hard to to really, especially for people who don't really know much about themselves or are still trying to find themselves, and just hearing other people tell them about themselves, a lot of times it's like, people subscribe to that, like, oh, okay, that must be it. But I think really it's more of a, that's an internal battle to me.
For sure. Yeah. I also think that when we just go back to the journey, everyone's journey is different. It's all separate. Like, although we intermingle, like we cross, you know, we're all like this, you know, like, oh, we're here now and now we're away and now we're crossing again. And he has a significant impact on my journey because we're married, we have kids together, we're, you know, we're doing all this stuff together. But I still have my internal journey, like he had mentioned, that I have to travel through. And some of my circumstances and some of my experiences, especially when we think about our childhoods, I feel like just totally screwed with all of us. Even people who might look and be like, what? You grew up in an 8-bedroom house and you guys got to go to the cabin every summer and you're going to
Disney World every year.
Vacations with your family. And this person could have just the most miserable life growing up, you know, trying to maybe even just uphold a certain, you know, level of poise for their family, or, you know, I just gotta be a straight A student and there's all this pressure and
I don't want to do the family business. I want to do my own thing.
You know, and I think when people, when we can just step back and just say, no one is really in charge of this narrative of my journey. I totally am in control. There's always going to be people who are talking, right? Sticks and stones, right? So there's always going to be people who are talking and they're always going to have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, are we validating it by responding to it? Or do we just let people have their narratives and have their ideas about us? And we can just remember that we know what's true.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason I love Beyonce so much, and it's because she does just that. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really respond to what people say. I mean, she has a whole fan base who does that for her at this point. But she could get mad. You know, she could get mad, especially when she hears people aren't willing to play my song because I'm Beyonce and it's country music and I'm not country, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. And it's just like, whoa, shit, watch me. You know, there was a period even in Beyonce's life where, you know, when you look at, did we ever ask ourselves, why did her music videos, why were they all in black and white when it came to Sasha Fierce? Even the cover of I Am Sasha Fierce was black and white. It actually came from her team telling her, no one wants to watch colorless music videos. And she was like, watch, here comes Halo, here comes Diva, here comes Put a Ring on It, here comes all the things, Dance for You, all of it was in black and white. And she said, shit, what? And that is right there, just being like, I'm me and no one can take that away.
Yeah.
And even though it's really easy to be like, oh, okay, you're the professional or maybe you know better. They just don't. They just simply don't.
And sometimes it's that too. Sometimes even the professionals don't even have the correct answer. Sometimes it's right. They
have what they know has worked for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They have their tallies and their things like, okay, well, statistically, this is what it is. And they're doing all their forecasts.
Educated guess.
Yeah, educated guess. They're forecasting. And it's just like, you know, what's for you is meant for you.
Mm-hmm. I have this scribbled down on a post-it note on my desk.
There it goes. Let them.
You know, a lot of the limiting beliefs that I have come out to be, what are people going to think about me? What are people going to think about the project I'm working on? It's cringe to put a podcast out, like all these like fake things in my brain that I'm so wrapped up in about how other people perceive me. And it's those two words, when I remember them, are so helpful. Just let them think that. It's none of my business what they think of me.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's going to happen. It's going to happen whether you like it or not, honestly.
Yeah.
It really
is. Yeah, exactly. Another thing on your Crown Media website says, we were created to create.
Mm-hmm.
That's humans, honestly. That's how we all got here.
You were created to create. A lot of people think like, well, I don't have like an artistic bone in my body, but it's like, you put your clothes on. You made your food today.
Yep.
We had to get real creative. Remember when you didn't know where you wanted to eat today? And we had to go back and forth about what we wanted to choose.
Put a dish together.
Yeah. All of it. When you go shopping for your shoes, when you're picking out, you know, what you want to do with your hair and your hair products, you know, when even when you're taking your school photo at 7 years old and they give you your comb and they're like doing all this to your head and all of that, you still, before you got there, was like, I got this outfit on, I went school shopping, you know, we're constantly in a mode of creating. I feel like we don't stop creating as humans. Like, it's one of the most beautiful gifts that we get to experience on earth. Anything that's existing. Yeah, any form of existence is creativity. So that's where it comes from.
There you go. You know, I think that's actually the perfect wrap for this episode right there. but before we wrap up, I want to give you a chance. Do you have any upcoming events or things you want to plug for the listeners, and where can they find you?
Soul
of the Southside is like kind of our main focus right now. So I would say definitely come check out Soul of the Southside.
We'll also be performing. Illism will be performing. There's this really incredible group of young people. So just so that we're clear, we're not 25. We're about 10 years removed from that plus. And collaborating with young people has been one of the most refreshing things. There is this group of young people who attend the University of Minnesota, and they have this show, I guess you could say, or this event, this ongoing event called Chop Shop. And it's a party. It's a musical party. It's a house party, but with live music. So we're going to be performing there. But Chop Shop is
good folks.
Yeah, definitely. It's everyone gets packed into this garage, and
it's about 200 people.
About 200 people get packed into this garage. There's this little tiny stage. It's so like garage band, you know.
Cool.
But it's so cool.
And it's fun.
And they've created this community of young people who really love hearing and witnessing live music and musicianship, which is so different from what we see so often, which is, you know, just at the club or, you know, that sort of thing. And is there this appreciation for live music amongst, you know, our Gen Z folks?
Right.
And they're
well, that gives me hope.
We'll be performing at Chop Shop on 420. We'll also be at the Hook and Ladder.
The same day.
On 420 for an event that they're having. And then after that, we'll be at
Art of World. Yeah, Whirly Gig, they call it.
Yes, we'll be there May 17th. Our whole summer is jam-packed. And so a lot of it you can just see on our website, illismusic.com.
Do you need volunteers or anything for Soul of the Southside? How could people get in touch? Okay.
Yeah, soulofthesouthside.com. There's a tab called Get Involved. From sponsorships to volunteers to vending, all of that is listed on our website, or people can get involved. And the same for the Legacy Building. Legacy Building, although we don't need volunteers, it's a space that is wide open for people to use to celebrate, to create content, to showcase what they do,
to rehearse.
All of it. So thelegacybuilding.org.
Fancy and Envy, thank you for coming on the show and sharing your heart with us. And to all of our listeners out there, huge thanks for tuning in and hanging out with us today. Keep creating, keep making magic. Your art is a gift to you and to the world.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Art is the New Wall Street. If you liked what you heard today, give our show a follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can find us on social media or at artisthenewwallstreet.com. Keep creating, and we'll see you next time.